Resolve in on the silver-splashed moonlight world of a long suburban street. The air was crisp when you drove out to the party. The party is left behind now, along with your car which wouldn't start. In this little town, overnight tow truck rates would be murder. No one who stayed behind has auto club cards, so you decided to walk. Half hour's walk, no big deal. You didn't even need to drive, except you could have given people rides home. A taxi would be a waste, and the air is so unseasonably warm. A leisurely walk home in time for a good night's sleep. The full moon was the real deciding factor, casting everything in a beautiful, silent, silver white that is all for you, just for you. No one else is seeing this world right now. And no one would believe how beautiful it can be with gentle footsteps homeward carried on the warm breeze. Serenity. Peace. There are some things only glimpsed in the silver pall of a moonlit midnight. One is coming your way. Quiet footfalls click along, tapping your way along pavement between houses. Ahead are some turnings, some more roads, some additional space between you and the warmth of home and bed. Easy enough. Tap, tap. Your shoes on pavement. All the cars are parked now, all the beasts sleeping in silver magic. Tap, tap, crunch. The silver was more than moonlight, more than the proper light for this quiet solo world. There are flecks of powder in the air. The diamond dust of an incredibly early snow. Impossible. There were no clouds in the sky. Yes, the sky is still clear, except waves and gusts, torrents and spirals, silvery light rebounding off the snow is beautiful. The temperature drops degree after degree. You hug yourself and speed up. Your footprints leave crisp imprints quickly covered by the drift and wind in your wake. Ah well, you have a jacket. And the turn is just ahead? Shit, you got distracted and went past it, right? Spin around. The snow is a foot high. The ground is covered, but cars mound above it. And the trees lining the turning you should have taken are still there. Good. How did it mound up so quickly? This is historic speed. The roofs of houses. Front steps covered. You see lights flicker out in a few houses. Fortunately, the street lights here run on emergency power, right? Nope. They flick out. But the moon. Huge and high and round and wonderful. It is still watching. Though the reflections it casts off the mounds of perfect, beautiful snow are quite distracting. Arms still around your shoulders, you forge onward toward the turning, pulling out your cell phone. Taxis won't move in this. The city barely has any snowplows ready this time of year. But in the worst case, you'll call someone to bring a warm jacket and duck inside one of the houses. Walking onward, you notice how gusts of wind pick up some of the snow and make it into spirals in the air. The whole thing looks like when someone wants to convey a snowy night outside a window in a cartoon. So they show swirls and whirls of snow traveling above the flat surface. Except this is you, outside, amid those gusts. Life is like that sometimes. Abstract. It looks as if everything were a cartoon or fake, but it is oh so perilously real that you feel it all through your muscles, skin, bones, all of you is involved in, invested in, immersed in, this snowy moonlit night. The sudden storm is rising up over your knees. You have to raise your legs in long, slow, wearying steps in order to proceed, but you have reached the row of trees which marks the turning you should have taken. Perhaps because this was a very warm night beforehand, the snow around your feet and legs feels quite comfortable. Nonetheless, you kick it along, disturb it, stride through it, make trails toward escape. A playful, childlike process which eases your mind amid a sudden silver maelstrom. You feel the first shiver through wet skin, but it somehow also makes your mind silent and relaxed. There is an eerie property in that snow, in that dust. Even your fur is doing little, and your cold tail is tucked under your full jacket for protection. Little bits of snow cling to your ears, and your senses just hear the ceaseless howl of rising silver white across your entire world. You look ahead through the snow, down a long straight turned matte white, and see your house in the distance. All right, not so bad. You have to raise your knees high, tiringly, weary long steps to deflect as much of the falling material as you can. Looking behind, you see the long kicking steps that you created. Ruts in the snow disturbed all around. They are already filling in. You still feel sort of weirdly warm, and you notice the snow is melting a little and running down the edges of the mounds you create. but it is falling faster still. Onward, white flakes sticking to eyelids, eyelashes. You feel warm and comfortable in a whited-out world, free of responsibility, free of requirement. You hear the whispering siren song of a world of white and silver beseeching you to lay down and lose yourself making snow angels. Given how warm it looks out here, and how the snow already seems to be melting away, this might be your only chance. You feel that impulse very strongly. Slowly, you lean forward and fall into the powder. Thumph. It makes a fluffy cloud around you, like you imagine falling into a vat of flour must feel. But this is fresh fallen snow, so getting some on your tongue is perfectly fine. You flip over on your back. The snow is just firm enough to support you while just your bare hands sink into the curiously warm white stuff. It really is strangely warm. You felt cold at first laying on top of the snow just 30 meters from your front door. You spread your arms and legs, laying on top of a powdery perfect coating. You begin to move your limbs, making snow angels, patterns in the snow. But more from the silver tempest quickly covers you. Heavy and delightful, a natural blanket, strangely warm. It is already melting away from your body heat, but you aren't getting wet. Strangely, it seems to be evaporating into the night. You lay there, covered, and only after your arms and legs are both covered does the snow begin to chill. Ah, maybe not so warm as you thought, now that the illusion and novelty have worn off. Still, relaxing, encased and warm, covered in soothing weight, and everything seems peaceful enough. Wind spiraling overhead, moving snow spirals, staring into them. Your deep breathing disturbs the little hill of snow above your chest, already forming. Your face is free of obstruction, though. It is like the snow knows to stay out of the way. You observe the silver disk of the moon high in the sky. You notice that there are big hills of snow around you, yet the valley you rest in is relatively untouched. Just enough snow to cover your arms and legs. You try to move them for fun, testing the snow, testing the storm. It holds you fast and secure, tight and safe. The silver whirls are barely trying to hide it now. They swirl directly above your head in circles and spirals. The storm wants you hypnotized, wants you simple. once you silent. You are now looking up from the bottom of a soothing valley, with your limbs compacted under comfy, unusually warm snow. You breathe, and a little hill of snow on your chest rises and falls, a few flakes falling off it to roll little rivulets of it. It is not melting now. It is simply there. It has always been there. Will always be there. This is right, good, soothing. You feel your mind grow simple and satiated. Your mouth hangs open, tongue lolls out. It might be a good idea to get some sleep. Your eyes have closed, but your mind has opened. In the void of space, only the silver light exists. There is a heartbeat in the silver light. Pulse, pulse, pulse away your thoughts. Your cares and concerns have drifted away in the embracing snow. It is perfect and right here. There is only a need to rest. Anything else is needless. Your deep breathing raises a bit of the snow, and your sighs of pleasure are the only thing you hear. Heat has begun to grow. Centered between your legs, over your arms, on the soles of your feet. Relaxation mingling with more sordid, sensual desire and arousal. The heat grows, and you just decide to stay, slowly. The tingling around your feet makes them numb. Pleasure. You inquire of how your feet feel, and your body answers, pleasure. The sensation moves upward. Oh, oh God. Orgasm, pleasure, pleasure, shock, pleasure. Your brain is caught in it, hot spasms through your belly as the snow holds you tight and your whole body feels so good. You could stay here in this divine euphoria, in this ecstatic winter wonderland of your own submission. You submit to the wind above, the howl and spiral of it, the way your eyes roll back in your head when the pleasure rolls over your waist. Now, any time you try to think about your body below that area, a flood of pleasure pulses in you. Wave after wave of divine, face-flushing, mind-blowing pleasure is happening. And the warm numbness that speaks only pleasure is moving higher and higher. Yes, you want this. You need this. Tendrils of snowy pleasure are inside your mind, making this your home. You want to lay in the sea of white, blankness and beauty. You need it. It is so alluring, so perfect, so much the divinity that you have sought. No worries, only the slow orgasms flooding you again and again as more of your body loses sensation. You are trapped with the pleasure of your whole lower body, and now more, becoming one huge erogenous zone. So good. Yes. Surrender. Submit. You lay like that, and the pleasure resonates in hot waves. No mere groping of your paws between your legs has ever set you off like this. You feel your entire body taut, fur on end. So good, so close, so close. Movement. Your pleasure prison is being violated. Hands are trying to pull you out. They succeed. Snow cascades away from you, warm and seductive. You rise from the snow, lifted bodily by two paws, either side of your torso. Someone who quickly holds your arms to your sides and lifts you in a bear hug after that. Curvy body, a high-pitched grunt. You feel her fur against yours. See the pointed, pulled-back face from the muzzle, the fur on the side of her face. A fox woman, an Arctic fox, snow furry, but no, more silver than white. Then you notice the drip, the throb. Your body aches. Snow inside your head. Snow falling away from your body. But, strangely, no snow is touching the woman who lifted you out of your prison of pleasure. Throb, you need to get back in there. The heat between your legs is unbearable, but also the rest of you is just so chilly. It was warm, down in the snow. It was getting so close. Brain fuzzy, aching, like the moment just before orgasm, and then the climax was clawed back. You look around over your shoulder and see the spot you made in the snow, your comfortable bed of heat and pleasure, of ache and throb. The storm was doing such wonderful things to you, inside and out, all over your body, into your brain, down through your back, your butt, your legs, your feet. Pleasure singing, pleasure rebounding off the walls of your pleasure cave of snow and happiness, rebounding back into you so neither moans nor shiver twitches could escape. Your fur was matted down with it, but being drawn close to the fox seems to have blown all the snow off of you. You are alone and deprived. You make an attempt to inspect your captor, rescuer, glasses settled low on her muzzle, an obvious frown, a big puffy jacket open to her midsection, gloves, a severe but stylish blouse and tie underneath. She is wearing snow pants pulled up underneath a skirt. It makes for a funny, if practical, image. The fox has a large rucksack-style bag with a collapsible shovel handle sticking out of it. Her fur is free of even one flake of snow, despite being the same color and also in spite of the blizzard blowing around both of you. The ache grows. That is as long as you can maintain a semblance of normalcy. You turn and try to struggle your way back into the snow, back into your new home where pleasure and blank whiteness are all there is. Once you wanted to go home, you acknowledge you were wrong. You're so close to coming. Let me go, finds its way past your lips, coming out in some hoarse storm whisper that is not entirely your own voice. Really? Really? The storm was digesting you, you fool. Keeping you pinned to her with one well-positioned arm, bringing you against her magnificent and huge breasts, each much larger than your head. She feels your forehead with the other. So cold! Hey, stop struggling. You really don't want to go back in there. You want it, crave it, need it. Being trapped in there was so good. The pleasure building, the ache, the throb. Fine, you want somewhere to rest. Click, click. Somehow keeping both of her arms on your body to pin you, you hear a rustling and her shirt flows off her body and onto yours, wrapping around your shoulders. Warm, scented with spice and flowers and vanilla and lemon. Magic? Must be. The same silver color from her muzzle and cheek fur extends to her breasts. They are huge. Lightly furred, with a dark, dark nipples. She presses you between them. As she is quite tall, this is an easy fit, and you are literally trapped in her warm, soft cleavage. This conveniently locks your arms to your sides. Then she closes her jacket around you. You try to struggle, but warm, silver. This is what you wanted. Why fight? Right? Right. Something whispers reassurances into your brain. Your brain, so recently readjusted to crave confinement and captivity, now craves the space inside her puffy jacket and between her fluffy breasts. You are immersed in her chest. You give in to this new confinement as easily as your adjusted mind craved the last one. You press your face to one and breathe deeply, kissing through the fur. Something about her invites gentle sensuality and she does not reject the maneuver, instead placing one hand on your back outside the jacket and pushing your newly puffy pleasure prison closer to her massive bosom. Her nipples are erect. Your muzzle finds one, and you begin to lick and suckle at it, lavishing your attention over her huge breast, your own fur rubbing hers. She moans slightly, but her voice is just as stern. Fine, please yourself then. Her legs move, pushing hills of snow out of the way. Some vague, long-forgotten, much-seduced part of your brain remembers your house is in this direction. She is holding you by scooping her arms under your body where you are trapped against her in the jacket. You must look like a strange pair, with your legs hanging out of the bottom of her jacket, and your upper body lodged between her massive mammaries. She presses her breasts against you by arching her back. You take it. You hear her talking above you, and her voice is simultaneously seductive, soothing, scolding. You have to get out of that place in your head. I guess my chest is as good a place as any. Breathe deep. One of her hands pushes through the gap in her jacket and begins to pat your back, rubbing, massaging, squeezing all over. She moves the hand lower and grabs your butt, pushing you further up against her breasts. Pliable, wonderful, sweated against your face, you rub your fur together and just feel so blissfully warm. Every bit the same as the time you laid in that cocoon of snow. It seems so long ago now. Your lower body is captured between her legs. She is doing a strange shimmy walk toward your door now, rubbing herself against you. Even I myself am not wholly unaffected, she admits, panting. There is moisture between her legs. At some point in this whole affair, you have become naked. That might explain the cold. You capture one of her nipples. You suck like your life depends on it, raising her flesh and inflicting vacuum seal sensation on her nervous system. This seems to make her stumble. Oh, goddess! Sensitive! Sensitive! She protests. Her body shivers. The progress of her shuffling movement slows. You find you don't care, suckling and bringing your other hand up to grab the opposite nipple in a desperate pinch. Warm, stuck inside her jacket, able to breathe deep and snuggle against her. This angel in the storm, mad though she is at you, she presents an opportunity to bring pleasure. You run your hands over her soft belly and hump your own inner thighs against one of her legs as she is doing with your leg. The two of you feel hot all over inside that warm jacket. The winds howl outside. The snows howl outside. Whatever this storm put inside your head is fading, being gradually replaced by an unavoidable sweetness from a more personable source. Only marginally more personable than the storm, mind. She groans and rubs her body against you. You hear the creak of your front door opening, its lock clicking open at her touch. And then a twist and a sense of gravity as she falls backward over the threshold. You land on top of her, cushioned by her curves and especially by her chest. She unzips the puffy coat, letting it fall away. You see that at some point she pushed her skirt down, and her panties are around one ankle. Snow dots them, but it is melting, and there is steam from the heat between her legs. The aphrodisiac properties of the snow were more than just in your head. She pants and whimpers, and so do you. Powerful paws grip your hips and turn you 180 degrees. You are brought face to face with her wet sex, parted lips, engorged clit, lightly furred around the edges. Your own lower body is trapped between her breasts, warmly humping against her cleavage and leaving signs of your own arousal in her fur. She shifts you and her breath washes between your legs. She begins a dedicated oral ravishing, her long tongue controlling your lower body with precise abandon. You give in and buck your hips against her muzzle, feeling her pointed ears tickle your inner thighs. Her glasses fall off to the floor with the enthusiasm of your shaking body. Then her legs rise. Generous hips. Her inner thighs capture your neck, and she flexibly pulls your face against her drenched pussy. The storm is still wailing outside, but it is warm inside your house, even with the door left open from her stumbling entrance. Please, pleasure, the cocoon of her breasts around your lower body, her mouth controlling you with dedicated oral pleasure forced into your mind. This is so much better than the pleasure prison outside. You lick. She tastes divine. The warmth of her fills you up like a cordial nectar from the inside out. You lap at her exposed clit and are rewarded with a feral whine. She fastens her lips and works her tongue over you hard enough that you can barely think. However, the insistent squeezing of her thighs on either side of your face reminds you that you must service her. Her clit sucked into your mouth, your warm breath and drooling saliva mingles with her wet heat. She wants it, needs it, rolls you into her grip. You want her, need her. You revel in confinement. Lick her, taste her wet pussy up close and personal. Her furred thighs squeezing you as the fox begins to climb toward her own climax. Yours might have already happened, might be happening. In your confused mind, there's barely a line between the pleasure of being her captive and the mere physical pleasure of your body. She squeezes you tight with both arms to hold you against her and begins licking with a noisy slurping that invades and controls. Her tongue seeks out every spot that feels good, and inside her mouth is a heated suction you didn't think was possible. Furred cheeks brush your inner thighs. You are captive to it, lusting for her, indulging in her wet sex. She shivers when you suck her clit. She moves her thighs against your face when you lick inside her slightly parted slit. The shaking of her butt and hips is powerful enough that you feel you are trapped in pleasant vibrations. When she begins to come, it is obvious, a keening whine that fills your brain and makes you suck her clit as hard as you can. Too much, too much, too much. She repeats again and again as the heat in both of your bodies reaches a crescendo and you whine your agreement. The two of you roil and roll together, moving on your side, each of you pressing against the other's face, desperate kisses on your inner thighs. Her movements of gratitude and pleasure as you keep sucking and licking. You must make her feel good. Two of your fingers probe the inside of her wet tunnel. So hot, so hot. All of the numbness and cold in your body is gone. Warms from the inside out by the taste of her juices and the way her breath and tongue and mouth between your legs have dominated you so completely. The pleasure is oppressive, mind-filling, silver instead of white. You want to squirm away, but you are caught between her huge, pliable breasts, occasionally bumping one of your hips against her hard, wet nipples, still puffy where you sucked on them earlier. Laying on the threshold between the outside cold and the warmth inside, you can only roll in pleasure. Heat, heat all over, all through. So good. Building up in your spine, your head, your belly, your butt. Warmth and pleasure and impending release. She's already having it. You keep mercilessly sucking and rubbing your body against her sensitive breasts, her needy clit, her parted slit, hot spasms from between your legs, coming, coming, coming. Her breasts are the perfect cushion for you to lay on as pleasure leaves you powerless, nerveless, sprawled across her. The door swings shut, but through its window, from between the fox's legs, you can still see silver light falling in the hallway, fading from the sky as the first rays of the sun touch. The slightly damp carpet in your front hall. Your mindless, spasming, orgasming body resting alone and lonely in the threshold, with a puffy jacket around your shoulders and the moonlight just barely gone. A pair of glasses lay across the room, and outside reveals autumn leaves and the damp of rain. Not one flake remains. But inside your head, silver spasms, furred thighs, slick wetness, and the heated liquor of her presence remain.